To most Floridians, manatees are cute, docile creatures that hang out in crowded springs and often get too close to boats, or rather, boats get too close to them. But down on the other side of the Florida Straits, manatees face a different set of threats, including the dinner table. WSF Steve Newborn recently tagged along with the Sarasota-based conservation group on an expedition to Cuba to find out how manatees are doing in those waters. We'll feature highlights of that trip on Florida Matters this afternoon at 6:30. In this preview, Steve takes you on board for a look.
When we sight something, we're going to be, the front of the boat is 12 o'clock, okay? So we'll go manatee one, 9 o'clock, 6.
We're on a diving boat on an uninhabited tributary deep in Punta Francis National Park. It's on the Isla de la Juventud, the Isle of Youth, a hurricane-shaped landmass in the Caribbean. It's the southernmost part of the Cuban archipelago, about 180 miles south of Key West. Here, it feels like the end of the earth. We're the only people around for miles.
The two are there. The third one.
Coming up, you can see them.
Where?
Coming up. Three noses are all up. Mm-hmm. Fourth nose getting ready to come up.
I don't see them.
Right there, 1 o'clock.
Yeah, one behind it to the right.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, one's turning that way,
Nose
up.
Spotting manatees here is an exceedingly rare sight, and we're fortunate to be able to see anything in these tea-colored waters. It's just about as rare for American tourists to be in the country, let alone in a national park that's off-limits even to most Cubans. That political gulf is being bridged by Sea to Shore Alliance, a conservation group based in Sarasota. Its executive director, James Powell, known to everyone as Buddy, has developed a relationship with the University of Havana. He's been spotting manatees here for nearly 20 years.
We're up the San Pedro River in a small mangrove creek surrounded by lots of red mangrove trees. This is an area where manatees come up, we think, probably to drink fresh water that's coming off the swamp. And we're in just a really quiet, still small lagoon, and what we're looking for right now are just little swirls of water or manatee coming up to breathe. And they'll very often come up here for a period of time and then go back down into salt water to feed. And so we're just trying to stay very, very quiet, looking for a little nose to pop up or just a slight disturbance on the water.
This is about as different as you can get from the way manatees are seen in Florida. In Cuba, you round a bend in a river, and all you see is a splash of a tail fin going straight down at the first sign of humans. There's a good reason for that, says Jorge Angulo, a professor at the University of Havana's Center for Marine Research.
Main cause of death of manatees in Cuba is hunting. People kill them to eat. So it seems that manatees have developed a very shy behavior, so it's very hard to see one. And because they have very good ear, as soon as they hear any human noise, they just... So to be able to see the manatees in the wild takes time and skills. And we have learned some of those skills from Buddy. He's able to spot the manatee in the middle of nowhere.
We're trying to look at the association. Do they come up here more in the dry season or the wet season? Is this a nursery area? Because the ones that have been caught up here by Anne-Marie and Jorge and the team, there's been a disproportionate number of females and calves. So it might be that this is a very protected and quiet area and safe place for them to have their calves.
Right there, come up.
Over there.
That's Mike Dunn, one of a group of about a dozen people on this first-of-a-kind fact-finding trip. He's used to seeing manatees a little closer than this, skippering a charter boat in Crystal River. Back home, he sees more manatees in one afternoon than he'll see here all week.
Where we're from, manatees come to us here. As soon as they even hear a noise of a person or a boat, they're gone. They know they're endangered.
5 centuries ago, Christopher Columbus first wrote that the waters around the island were swimming with manatees. Since then, the slow-moving creatures have been easy pickings for fishermen looking for a meal for their family. Now, no one really knows how many are left. Anne-Marie Alvarez-Alemán of the University of Havana has been researching the mammals for a decade. She says there may be 500 to 1,000 manatees on an island with more than 2,000 miles of coastline.
That's what I want to happen here in Cuba, that people can understand the value of this species. Because unfortunately, right now, they are seen as meat, as a source of protein, and but they don't understand how critical their situation is. So I'm hoping in my project to raise awareness through education so people can see manatees as special animals that they need to protect.
All that is going to take a lot of education and money, which is something the Cuban government doesn't have much of. During the several hours we were on the river, the only sign of law enforcement were four green-uniformed Coast Guardsmen putting along in a John boat with an inboard motor. Before any efforts can begin to save the remaining manatees, researchers like Alemán have to know how many are left. In Florida, manatees gather in cold weather at springs and power plant outfalls where they can be easily photographed. But that doesn't happen in this hot tropical island.
In Florida, of course, what they do is they grab a plane, they just go for a flight, and they one manatee, two manatee. Well, that cannot happen here. First, because the water is very dark. And second, because 1 hour flight will be around $2,000, and we don't have plane.
That's where Sarasota-based Sea to Shore Alliance comes in. They're helping researchers like Alemán and Angulo get the resources to do a detailed study of just what lies beneath the water. Angulo says their hope is that by opening up Cuba to well-heeled Americans, ecotourism could provide an economic incentive for fishermen not to think of manatees and sports fish only as dinner.
Because very soon, we're going to have plenty of American fishermen coming down here to do fly fishing and all of that, which I think is a good thing to do, but if we have the scientific information before, then we're going to be ready to withstand the possible impact of that flood of tourists.
President Obama has been pushing for a thaw in U.S.-Cuban relations, moving to relaxed restrictions on tourism. So the hope here is that flood would bring a lot of Yankee dollars, possibly giving these gentle creatures a fighting chance. Steve Newborn, WUSF 89.6.